we talked with WBUR's Simone Rios as part of our station's ongoing series, Boston Underwater. The Blue Line, and really the whole MBTA system, is facing some pretty clear threat as sea levels continue to rise. And as if that's not enough, the T is also faced with a serious financial crunch. It's still reeling from the pandemic as we attempt to fully reopen the city and the region. Here with us to continue the conversation about all of that is MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak, and he will take your calls. If you have a question or a comment about the T for Steve, call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand that you had a chance to hear what we were talking about before the great break. Let me just give you a chance to react to that segment about the Blue Line and the sea level rise threat.
Sure. I had the opportunity to hear, obviously, what was said. And, you know, Blue Line is a really important part of our service. And I think for us, we've done some pretty extensive work understanding what the threat is. We've made a number of investments to mitigate it. I think this will be an ongoing process, right? Part of it is what can we do to protect our specific assets? And we are making a number of investments. But part of it also is a much more holistic. What is a threat to the T is also a threat to the communities that we serve. And part of it is working with initiatives like Climate Ready Boston to come up with mitigation measures that protect not only the T's assets, but the community itself.
Steve, how much of your portfolio time, sort of thinking about all the different things to deal with, budgets, new train station repairs, how much of your time and thought are you able to give to something like climate? And what else do you think the T needs to do to help deal with those issues coming down the road? You just gave us a list, but are there other things as well?
Well, it's an integral part of our capital planning process. We are investing, this year we're going to spend $1.75 billion on investing in the system. Next year we hope to spend $2 billion. And a significant component of that is trying to build things thoughtfully that address not only the hazards we see in the next 10 years, but the next 50 years. So, you know, for instance, I had the opportunity to drive by today. We have a brand new seawall at our Charlestown facility along the Mystic River that is intended to protect that facility for the next 50 years from the potential effects of sea level rise. So it is marbled through everything we do in terms of our capital program and also, you know, how we think about our operations.
You're listening to MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak. He will take your questions. If you have questions or comments about the T, join us here on Radio Boston, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Steve, you heard Julie Wormser before the break there, and as I was studying this story, it really made me think about the fact that there is this inherent choice in how we maintain and update a system to either work with legacy infrastructure or build something new. And that really struck me. We've talked a lot over the last couple of years about projects and priorities for the T, but I don't know if I've ever asked you it that way before. The choices the T has made seem to imply that the emphasis is you work with the legacy infrastructure. Is that right? And is there a vision or a thought about some of this is just going to have to go and we're going to have to do something else?
I mean, I think we have a lot of ability to adapt, particularly with the Blue Line. I think you've seen, as was noted in the piece, we've seen really durable ridership on the Blue Line. You know, relative to some of our other subway lines, it's consistently had the highest on a percentage basis, highest ridership throughout the pandemic. And we are committed to continuing to provide that service. I think it's our challenge to figure out what are the internal investments we need to make to make sure that the system is resilient, that the Blue Line itself is resilient. And then what do we need to do with a broader set of partners to make sure that the community as a whole is resilient? So I do not foresee, I know one of your guests was talking about a bus rapid transit as a replacement. We continue to see the Blue Line as viable for the long term, and we'll continue to invest in it.
Do you think there's any part of our T infrastructure that eventually becomes non-viable given sea level rise and the overall impacts of climate change?
I think we're going to be challenged in some places, but I think, I mean, it's a broader challenge for the Metro Boston region. I don't see any place where the T would unilaterally say some piece of the system would be non-viable. I think that's pretty far down the road. I think we're also getting better at mitigating it and planning for it. You know, we're investing at a much higher level. The problems we've had at Aquarium, you know, we've now taken a number of steps to address that. I think we're trying to be thoughtful now. You know, we have raised some of the utilities at Orient Heights. We are also looking at, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Climate Ready Boston. What are some of the things we can do in East Boston as a whole to protect our infrastructure?
We're going to start shifting gears now to the reopening to post-pandemic life. The phone number here with MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Are you back on the T? Are you coming back to the T? Have you been on the T all along? And what thoughts and questions do you have as our economy begins to return, some part normal, some part new normal, and transportation and public transit are going to be a key piece of that. Join the conversation. So, Steve, with that shifting gears, so recently a $2.35 billion operating budget passes. It commits to restoring service to pre-pandemic levels without fare increases. I know there's a ton of hiring, hundreds of hiring that has to be done, if nothing else. What can you tell us about the timing of the restoration of service to pre-pandemic levels?
We are, we're attempting to get bus service back as fast as we can. It's probably not going to be till later in the year. We are back, by and large, on the subway system to pre-pandemic service. In a couple cases, we're actually offering more service in the middle of the day because we've seen a shift in ridership patterns. On commuter rail, we put a new schedule in place April 5th. We're at about 25% of our pre-pandemic ridership, and we think we've got about the right level of service there. We've also restored service levels on ferry as well. We brought back the Charlestown ferry. We've added some ferries to Hingham and Hull. So we think we're in a pretty good spot in terms of the level of service we're putting out there. We are hiring in an effort to get more service on the Green Line and on bus.
Do you have, like, for each branch or division or dimension of the MBTA, do you have implementation goals, like a date? Okay, we want all transit up by this date. We want buses back fully in service by this date. Are you working to a set of goal dates like that?
We are working. There's not a real specific date on bus, just because we typically do bus schedules every quarter. So as we get new bus drivers, they're either assigned to a route or they're being assigned on almost a daily basis. So for bus service, we're looking to get back to what is kind of full pre-COVID levels by sometime this fall. But I don't have a specific date.
And what do you want people to know, Steve, about safety protocols? Have you made, you know, I remember early in the pandemic us talking about cleaning protocols. We've talked about mask wearing. I'm sure there are ventilation concerns in various riders, you know, cars on the trains or in various buses. What should listeners know about safety measures the MBTA has put in place as people come back to the T?
Sure. I think first it's important, I think, for everyone to remember masking is required on the MBTA per the federal guidelines and also the MBTA's policy. So that's masking for both employees and customers. So we ask that everyone wear a mask on the T. I would note that there is no evidence of any kind of super spreader event associated with transit anywhere in the world. I think that's important. We continue to clean our vehicles and disinfect them. I think as we evaluate some of the public health guidance out there, we may adapt that in the future, but we are currently still cleaning our vehicles and disinfecting our vehicles. For instance, vehicles are on a daily basis. Touch points at our stations are every 4 hours, so we continue to clean them. I ride it on a regular basis across multiple modes, and I encourage folks when they're comfortable to give it a try. And I also want to acknowledge that there are hundreds of thousands of people who have been riding the T throughout this pandemic, and we've been there to provide the service.
Let's go to the phones here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to speak with MBTA General Manager Steve Poftek, who's here with us on Radio Boston. Rose is on the line from her car. Rose, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, it's so funny. This happened just yesterday. A friend and I were leaving the aquarium. We walk over to a T-stop. Now, she does not have a Charlie card. So she goes to the machine, and she wants to buy a senior ticket. Well, the machine wants to verify that she is indeed a senior. I understand that. But the only verification they ask for is her Charlie card. She would not be getting a ticket if she had a Charlie card. She would either use her Charlie card or use the machine to add on some money to the Charlie card. So she could not get a senior ticket. She was able to get a regular adult fare. And I just thought, how strange. Why would they ask for a Charlie card to verify her age when she would have one already?
Rose, was this the aquarium tea stop? Do you remember which tea stop it was?
I think she said it was Haymarket.
So stay there, Rose. Let's turn to Steve Poftek. Steve.
Yeah.
Sure. Any type of senior ticket or senior pass is a reduced fare product for seniors, and we do need to go through a verification process initially to issue that ticket. So you would need to go to the Charlie Card store to get that ticket. So that's just administratively how we run that program, as opposed
and
to
so
having
Steve,
it available sort of on demand at a vending machine.
So for listeners who are not familiar, when you say go to the Charlie Card store, what does that mean? Is that an online store? Is that a physical store? Just for listeners who may not know.
Sure. The Charlie Card store is in the concourse at Downtown Crossing between Primark and Macy's. But for you old timers like myself, between Jordan's and Feline's in the underground concourse at Downtown Crossing.
Steve, let's go to another call here. We've got David on the line in Hyde Park. And before we go to David again, the number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. David, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Poftek. Good afternoon. I am a regular commuter rail user. And back in the day, the MBTA used to use Budliners on some of the commuter rail lines. And when I get on the commuter rail in midday, you're filling up one or two cars out of a six-car set. And it's my perception that you're really wearing out the equipment by running these empty cars along these lines. What are your plans on bringing back self-propelled Budliners or something similar that doesn't require a locomotive and doesn't use a lot of cars that are going to be empty?
Go ahead, Steve.
Great question. We're currently evaluating a couple different service models for the future. And one of the ones we're actively evaluating it's not exactly the Budliner, but it is it's called an EMU, and it is a self-propelled vehicle. It obviously would require a whole host of infrastructure upgrades on most of our lines. But it is one of the things we're evaluating as part of the future of commuter rail. Right now, we run locomotives with cars attached. We have reduced the size of many of the train sets we're running in a response to reduced ridership. If we see ridership uptick, we'll obviously increase the size of it. So it is part of our long-term thinking. But to be completely transparent, long-term is going to be 5 years plus at this point.
So, Steve, in your answer to David there, you talked about infrastructure upgrades, and there are some things there I'd love to talk about while we've got time with you. Let's start with the Green Line. You're working on the D Line. It's shut down until June 20th and then again from the 24th to July 2nd. Mindful that that is essentially the main Red Sox line. They have a bunch of home games during that stretch. Why shut the line down when there's going to be such high demand for it due to those games?
Yeah, shutting the line down is not a decision we take lightly, but it is. It does allow us to get an awful lot more work done. Otherwise, you're in the process of trying to get work done on the overnight. So, let's say the line shuts down potentially 12:31 p.m. or 1 a.m. You're then, you set up for an hour, you do an hour or two of work, and then you've got to take it down to get the line restarted again. So to have that 24-hour access to the line is really important to us. We have added additional express buses from Riverside to the Kenmore Square area to try to absorb some of the volume for the Red Sox games. We also, you know, I think initially we were expecting August 1st to be more of the reopening time. Then all of a sudden May 29th was upon us, and you know, very happily, we joined in this in the reopening, but recognize that it is an inconvenience for our customers, but we think it's worth it to be able to get a lot more work done to make the line more reliable.
And let's stay with the Green Line for a second, and then after this question, we'll go to another call. The Green Line Extension Project, it has been troubled for years. It was projected to be completed by the end of this year. Are you still expecting to finish it by the end of 2021?
We are currently in discussions with the team that's building it, GLXC, to try to firm up when exactly it's going to be done. So I don't have anything definitive to say on that. I think we're having very productive conversations with them. We want to get that we want to get GLX open as soon as possible because it's going to be a great benefit to our customers. And you know, over the arc of this project, people have been waiting for this for a long time, and we're very close. So we want to get it open as soon as we can.
So it may, but it also may not, depending on what happens in these conversations.
Still working on that conversation. Yep.
All right. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Vivian on the line in Maynard. Vivian, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. We actually just recently moved to Maynard and in the process of buying a house, the weekend Fitchburg line service was stopped, and which is a big loss for us. Just because we had planned on taking the commuter rail quite a bit to get to work and also to get into Boston on the weekends. And so I'm just wondering, it feels like there's kind of this negative feedback.
Oh, Vivian, I think we lost you there. So Steve, let's let Vivian go. Steve, I know the rest of what you wanted to know is restoration of weekend services.
Yes, and Vivian and I have never met, so this is not a setup. We are bringing back weekend service on all the commuter rail lines on July 3rd. So
July 3rd.
Yeah, so service will be back on the weekends on all the lines. I believe it was suspended on 5 of the 12 lines. It will be back, and those schedules, if they're not up right now, they should be up shortly. So pleased to bring that service back.
All right. Well, that's good to know, and I'm now glad you told us Vivian wasn't a plant, since that's news that you're giving us here. All right, Steve, we don't have a ton of time left. There's like 800 other things I'd like to ask you. I think the last thing I will go to is the Fiscal Management Control Board. It'll cease to exist as it's currently constituted at the end of the month. It was formed in 2015 after Snowmageddon, extended for a year. The governor is interested in a new oversight board. What do you want to see, and how essential? I mean, obviously, externally, people think some level of oversight is really important. What's your position on that?
I do think some level of oversight is important. It is an active discussion now at the legislature. The House Ways and Means Committee has put forward a proposal. I was one of the founding members of the Fiscal and Management Control Board. I think it. So obviously, I'm a little biased. I think it. You know, it's been an extraordinary institution that has brought the MBTA from what was, you know, was a really dire place to a much better place now. And we will see what this legislative process brings us. The Fiscal Management Control Board sunsets at the end of June, and barring legislation, we'll revert to the MassDOT board. But I am hopeful that we get some sort of definitive outcome from the legislative process.
And let's just talk money briefly. Projections say that once the federal pandemic aid dries up in 2024, the T will have a massive budget shortfall. Is that the most urgent pressure point for the T right now, Steve?
It is among many pressure points. It is among the most urgent. We will be challenged in 2024 I think we have at least a couple years to prepare for that and also to understand what ridership will look like in the future. Ridership, you know, ridership will eventually stabilize, will eventually work out how many people are hybrid, how many people are commuting, how have commuting patterns changed. And then I think we can work to figure out how to fund this public service. So we have a couple years of runway, but 2024 is going to be a really pivotal time for the MBTA.
And that is Steve Poftek, General Manager of the MBTA. Steve, always grateful for the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.